Master Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. Indeed, you have been given a name that is above every name, that at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow down, and every tongue will confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Master Jesus, we live for your glory. Everything we do is for your glory. And for your glory, we exist. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the honor and the privilege of knowing you, our Lord, our friend, our Master. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. President Donald J. Trump. Now, some of you might be wondering why we're excited about that. But I'll tell you that the New World Order just got the biggest kick in their teeth. And I'll tell you that there are so many people, of course, who are not exactly excited about it because they don't see themselves as first and foremost Christians. They see themselves as blacks, as women, as, you know, all those things. So when they tell you somebody is racist or is sexist or misogynist, then suddenly it touches a part of you and then you don't want to hear anything else. But the thing is this, we are all spirit. Okay? In the spirit, there are no genders, there is no gender, and there is no race. Okay? So if you're touched by things as simple as race, then you don't understand the world in which we live. Praise the Lord. The world in which we live, our interests are God's interests. Or rather, God's interests are our interests. You understand? Now, it doesn't matter. You cannot reduce me to a place where I think my race is more important than my faith. It can never happen. If I died today, race would not be an issue. The only thing that would be an issue is my faith. Amen? So you see, you have to think beyond these things. And think beyond. If you die today, your gender will not be an issue. Amen? Yeah, because in the beginning, God created man. He created man. Now he created spirit. That's Genesis. Let us make man, 1:26. But later on, he talks about how he separated that spirit into gender. Okay? Man and woman, you understand? Now, the word used is different. The word used here is created. The word used there is formed. So he formed women. Now, your gender is just part of your assignment. Okay? So if you're a man or a woman, you have different assignments. But it ends here. It does not continue there. So if somebody is going to get you all emotion over gender, then you don't really know who you are in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you a bit of what the world is going to be like with this man, the leader of the so-called free world. I don't know who told them they're the ones who lead the free world, but anyway. I heard about how before, in around September, Donald Trump met a group of pastors, and they actually met at his Trump Towers in New York. And so he spoke to them in private, and he heard what they had to say, and what their issues were, and all these things, and they articulated them, their issues, to him. Now, he told one of them afterwards that you are very bold in private, but very timid in public. Why is that? Because you see, you're talking to somebody who, when he stands in front of his pulpit, talks like he's being censored. And yet when you talk to him in private, he has very strong views and very strong opinions, which for some reason he cannot express before the public. So he told him that, how can you be so timid? Then he took him, 15th floor, and he took him and showed him somebody down on the streets and said, you see that man here? That man walking down there, he's freer than you. Because at least for him, he says what he thinks. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a reason why the church had been pushed into that position where they can no longer say what they truly believe. Even powerful men of God. So you appear on a big talk show and they ask you, what are your views on same-sex marriage? And you start saying that you are not God to judge. I mean, really? But you see, because you've been pushed into a position where you're scared to even say what you think. We are going to go into a bit of this. But you see, that's the trick of the devil, where if he can get you to keep quiet. And anyway, let me first tell you how the world is going to be up with how many, 5 or 6 things that you should expect under President Donald J. Trump. First of all, some of them are of God, some are not necessarily of God. But there's going to be an upsurge in nationalism, which is going to push back the globalists. Now, as it was, the globalists had completely taken over, and they were pushing us very fast towards the New World Order agenda. And it was almost inevitable. Now, people are comparing Trump's victory to Brexit. It is not. Brexit is just nationalism. Trump's victory is an upsurge, not just in nationalism, but also in conservatism and religious freedom. Because the countries which you once thought were the champions of religious freedom actually had given it up entirely. And they were the ones who were the most gagged, or the ones who had the most shackles on them. And that one of them was, of course, America. And one of the reasons that was so, this pastor told this man, told Donald Trump, that there is a law which is called the Johnson Amendment, which was made by then-Senator Lyndon Johnson, who eventually became the president in 1954. And it said all tax-exempt organizations in America will lose their status as tax-exempt if they start talking political stuff or endorsing candidates, or they called it talking partisan stuff. That means that churches are exempt from tax until you say anything about government. So now you see, the pastor goes and starts talking in parables. Let's go and vote. We'll go and vote for Vadi. But you see, he cannot speak what he actually wants to say. He cannot say, go and vote for so-and-so, because then they will start imposing taxes on him. And now that was in 1954. And now for all these years after that, they put something on their mouth. Don't say anything. But you see, if the church goes silent, the country is going to the dogs. That's how come the liberals took over and completely came and conquered all through the 60s. Now, it happened in 1954. The 60s was the beginning of almost every kind of rebellion against church and moral order. Then in 1973, I'm still talking about that country, 1973, then abortion is passed. Then now it's not only passed, but it is there's abortion on demand, and it's even being funded by government. And they are not only aborting young fetuses, they are actually aborting fetuses that are over 36 weeks old, where a baby is more or less produced and killed, and they are selling body parts. That is called Planned Parenthood. Some of you have not heard about it. Go and check about where they leave the baby to grow almost to full term, and then they remove it, more or less give birth to it and kill it. And then Planned Parenthood, on their website, have a price tag for different body parts of babies. If you want a heart, it's going to cost you how many dollars? If you want a kidney, it's going to cost you. Can you imagine? And it is funded by Obama's government. Bush did not fund it. When Obama came, he started funding it. $500 million of government taxpayers' money every year. Now, for them, they can decide how government is run, but the church cannot decide. You understand what I'm saying? So now, it's one thing if they do it, but it's a totally different thing if they're actually getting taxpayers' money, because those taxpayers include all believers, not necessarily the church. Praise the Lord. So now, this is not just Brexit, was just actually, now the comparisons are there, but it's more than that. But you see, the liberal media is not going to admit that the reason Trump won is because of evangelicals. Now, let me tell you, the reason he went and shut down even democratic states,
where Clinton, Clinton knew she was going to win, and did not even visit, did not even go there to campaign, because she knew that one is a done deal, and Trump won it, is because now for the first time, pastors were mobilizing and telling people, go and vote, we are in the, because, now why were they doing this? Previously, they were so soaked in their privilege, and their status, taxes, exempt, nothing can happen to them, everything is good. Sometimes you need something to shake you to understand that the things you took for granted, you can no longer take for granted. Now they go and tell believers, all Christians. Now, previously, they had pushed them into a corner where the biggest debate happening in the church is between doctrines. Your Baptist, your Pentecostal, your what? Now, when you are arguing over those things, the world is not affected. That's your business. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, for them, they actually infringing on you, pushing you further and further, and for you, the biggest debate going on is whether you believe in tongues or don't believe in tongues. Whether I believe in this, and you don't know what you're falling for. Now, eventually, when they put you there, and that's all you're ever debating, then they even start determining the agenda of your debates. So initially, the agenda is set by you. Terms, no terms, miracles, no miracles, healing, no healing. But eventually, after they have weakened you completely, they come and throw in something on your agenda. Same-sex marriage.
Then now you start debating same-sex marriage. Can you imagine where a church starts debating things like same-sex marriage? Now they have you where they want you. Amen? Until you wake up. And then now you realize that you are in serious trouble. And now you start actually mobilizing and using the numbers. Because I wondered, how can a nation that has 65% of its people professing believers give the world somebody like Obama? Now, some of you are angry because he's black. 8 years ago, I would have been, but I since realized that I am Christian before I'm black. But that's even before we knew him. Okay? Now, by the first 4 years when I knew what he stood for, man, I was so ashamed of myself that I actually stayed up all night, anxious to see Obama elected as president. I've never been more ashamed of myself than that. I realized that I was caught into the world's, you understand, eh? They decide for you who is cool, and then they present somebody to you, and it's all there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they decide this one is fake, this one is cool, and what, and you buy into it, and then they sweep the whole world, and somehow they control you, and before you know it, you don't have a say. Amen? Hey, now, let me tell you. So this is not just an upsurge. This is not like Brexit. Brexit was immigration. We don't want people coming from Europe to Britain. That was it. That really was it. And even much of the news media were in the UK, were in support of Brexit. Actually, most of them, okay? Most of the media, especially the tabloids, were in support of Brexit. Now, when it came to Trump, because they knew what he stood for, not a single mainstream media house supported him. Not one. All of them. One has actually come out and apologized for being very partisan after the man won. Now, all of them were so against him, the whole world system. Now, when you see something like that, you just know it has the devil behind it. You know, let me tell you, there is nobody, if, you know what Jesus said, they will hate you all, the whole world will hate you for what? For my name's sake. He did not say you'll be popular. Don't expect to be popular. Praise the Lord. Now don't think, when I went and wrote that Trump is going to be president, I was abused. But thankfully, I don't care. As if I didn't sign up for this to be popular. I only want to be popular with Jesus Christ. The only person for whom I live and whose opinion I really care about is him. Everybody else can go and hang. And I absolutely mean that. Now, if you think you are going to be popular saying the things that matter, you're lying yourself. Jesus said, a servant can never be greater than his what? He said, it is enough for a servant that he is like his master. And he said, if they called your master Beelzebub, the prince of what? Of demons. You think that everybody is going to applaud you? They will not. If they do, I will. Now, here is the thing. If I saw everybody applauding you, I will know you're false. It doesn't happen that way. Now, here is the thing. Let's go ahead. So, now when you see everybody turning against one person, the whole world system, and for them they are one, they will never have a difference of opinion. It's only the church that has a difference of opinion. For them, they are one. They bombard the whole world with all these things and what, and their liberal takeover. But thank God, what was supposed to be the complete and total takeover of liberalism of the world has turned out to be their biggest defeat ever. Because, listen to this. The man needed 270. Actually, I think he eventually ended with 300. Senate, Republican. House, Republican. Governors, Republican. For the first time since 1928. Now, this was supposed to be their takeover. They were supposed to come and take the trophy. Why? Because the liberals, of course, the political elite, want to make Europe, like America like Europe, where there is this vigilant, militant secularism, where they force everybody to believe in nothing. You understand, eh? Where their values are the ones that matter. Now, this was the time they were supposed to come and take over America. Do you know what the world would be like with 8 years of Hillary Clinton? You see, some people, even believers, some of you here, were angry. Oh, she has lost. Why? Because you are listening to rubbish. You're tuned into the wrong frequency. If you're a believer, don't ever be tuned to their frequency. I don't mean that literally, because I listen to it, but I told you I watch CNN the way I watch a movie, eh? Just to know what happened to Jackie Chan, but not taking it seriously. Huh? I mean, you can't believe anything. They are spewing the lies of the devil. You can't believe any of that crap. Do you understand? Okay, I would believe if they tell me there was an earthquake in Cambodia, because there was one. But I have to guard my mind against thinking like them. And by the way, it is. And I take these things seriously. I cannot go to sleep having watched the last thing CNN, because the sleeping time is the most important time. And I cannot wake up and do it the first thing. When I wake up, the first thing I do is I go and do something. Either I listen to some worship or get a scripture and meditate on it or do something. As I take my cup of coffee, then I can say, now let me see. Even a newspaper, I cannot read it the first thing in the morning. Because the most important time of your meditation life is the last thing you do before you go to sleep and the first thing you do when you wake up. What you do when you go to sleep determines the nature of your dreams. Eh? And even not even the dreams that you remember. Do you know, there are so many things that happen when you are asleep, which you don't know. Eh? Psalms 19, verse 2. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals what? Now, when you go to sleep, when the last thing you did was watch CNN, you are actually digesting their stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? So make sure what you're digesting at night is good. Even if you read just one scripture, some of you are lazy. Just get one scripture, give yourself 3 minutes to think about it, and let it be the last thing you think about before you go to sleep. Then the knowledge you wake up with will be of that nature. Okay? Now, then in the morning, day and today utters what? Speech. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you allow, by the way, that's the most important time. If you wake up in the morning and the first thing you think about is good, you've set yourself up for a very good day. You've set yourself up for a positive day. If you train yourself to wake up and say, thank you, Father, for this wonderful day, regardless of what is happening, you're setting yourself up for a very good day. Now, that is the most important time. And sometimes even the time before you completely wake up. I didn't plan to say all these things I'm saying now. Sometimes even the time before you completely wake up, when you're between sleep and consciousness, then you have these weird dreams which you're almost as if you're half awake. Then you understand what I'm saying, eh? You're almost as if half awake and work. Now, if those dreams of yours are fake, you know it's because you went to sleep feeding on fake stuff. So the knowledge you were feeding on is fake. Now, if you wake up and those dreams are nice, then you know you went to sleep feeding on good stuff. Now, so, do not let, anyhow, let's go ahead. So what we saw is a counter-revolution against the liberals. You know, let me tell you, Obama had completely turned America on its head. That the biggest debate was whether homosexuals who are females in their relationship can use ladies' toilets. So imagine you go to a ladies' toilet and you find a dude. Then you say, what are you doing here? He says, I'm a woman. And that was like a big national debate. Can you imagine? Like, somebody has reduced, but some of you like him because he talks well and he's black. Let me tell you, the day you learn that your life and your interests are in God, you learn how not to fall for this crap. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't support somebody just because he's black. I mean, there are so many black people in this room. What's so special about being black? Actually, all black people. So what we saw was a counter revolution against militant liberalism and secularism. They were going to control the world completely. After 8 years of Hillary Clinton, you will not even be able to stand up and say anything against same-sex marriage. That would even throw you in prison. And that's exactly what they were planning. That's why the whole new world order apparatus, everything. Now let me tell you, it got so bad that even Google, when people started searching things about Hillary, it would only put positive things. Where everybody from Google to all, now people had to go to other search engines. Because all the newspapers, everybody was corrupted and they are pushing their agenda like completely. But you see, God stands there, and the church in America finally woke up. Finally woke up and said, now, you know what? We have to do something. We can no longer sit back and let these people take us over, run us over. Because they're actually running them over like a bulldozer. Anyway, so the victory was actually mostly people of faith. But they would not even say it. They would say people voted for Trump, white people with without college education. You've heard those things, eh? Rubbish. Rubbish. The man sat and told them, number one, I'm going to remove that amendment, which makes it wrong for you to say anything about politics. So that I can remove the gag of your what? Of your mouth, and you can speak freely. Then he sat and told them that we are going to do same-sex marriage, which Obama forced on. And you know these people, they do things forcefully. They don't do things democratically. They are the least democratic people, the liberals. Let me tell you. Now, I didn't want to get into all this politics. But listen to this. The most liberal state in America is California. Even they, put to them a referendum of same-sex marriage, and they rejected it, even California. Now, there are places in the middle, like Texas and Oklahoma, where it cannot even get even one vote. Like, but even the most liberal refused it. But what did Obama do? He took it to court. And they forcefully passed it. Then they did not only do that, they actually started coming for Christians. And now, where they are completely coming for Christians, and it's a complete takeover. Now, what annoys me is, and okay, I can understand this, if, you know, because we've never really been in minorities. But I was seeing blacks in America, all of them support, I mean, many of them support, even preachers, supporting Hillary, because, okay, they are minorities, we are not. It's easier for me to stand here and say, I'm not, because nobody is discriminating against me on the basis of my color. But okay, I know they're a bit tight, but you have to get to a point where the only thing that matters is God. Do you understand? Where you cannot be tuned into what over Trump said, over he's going to do what, he's anti-women and what. Okay, maybe he did those things. He actually did them. But the point is, it doesn't matter. Okay, it matters, but this matters more. We're on God's side. We're on God's side. And you have to settle that in your mind anyhow. Let me move on. So now there's going to be an upsurge in nationalism across Europe, not just in America. By the way, there's going to be a revolution that will even affect Europe. Because now in Europe, the church was totally silenced. The forces of nationalism completely silenced. At least those ones were a bit enhanced by Brexit. But Brexit was not anything apart from nationalism and the vote against immigration. Now this one is conservatism. We want to go back to our values. Marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman. One man and one woman. And not redefining it. So same-sex marriage, nowhere. Now, not only, by the way, now let me tell you, when they pass it in the Supreme Court, you are there, a pastor, and two men come and say, you either marry us, or we are going to take you to court. And when they take you to court, they are going to find you guilty of discrimination, and they are going to charge you a lot of money, which you can't afford. Do you understand what I'm saying? where they are forcefully doing it. Now, it had to take that for those people to wake up from their privilege. Now, I was seeing the Baptists, what everybody, man, praying. Because now their differences became minor, as they should have been in the first place. Anyhow. So now, this is also going to embolden the church. But okay, let's not get into that first. Secondly, now, the relationship between America and Israel would improve so much. And actually, it will improve so much that it will cause a lot of tension. Because the Middle East countries, the Arab countries, will start becoming a bit nervous about America. Because now, Palestine knew that in Obama they had an ally. Because Obama actually tried to press Israel so hard. And if it wasn't for the Republicans in America, he would have done a lot of damage. It actually got to a point where they banned all flights from America to Israel. Tel Aviv. And that apparently it's very unsafe. Until the former mayor of New York flew in his private jet to Tel Aviv and showed everybody in front of cameras that it is safe. Then they had to lift the ban. But they were doing that to hurt Israel, because a lot of Israel's revenue comes from American tourists. You know those people you see on TV go and visit Israel. That's a very big source of revenue. And the reason why the Palestinians want Jerusalem as their capital is because they want Muslims to get their revenue from Christians going to Jerusalem. Can you believe that? And some Christians support it. Why? Because CNN supports it. But can you imagine how shallow people can be? So Christians are going to the place where Jesus was killed and to visit the tomb and to visit Gethsemane, and they are paying their tourist money to Arabs. And some people think that's okay. Palestinian cause. I mean, can you believe that? That's anyhow. So, that relationship is going to improve so much, and will actually cause people to be a bit nervous. The Arab world, and now the Palestinians had found a friend in Obama and John Kerry, who was trying to push Israel. Okay, the third thing is now, okay, I'll talk a bit about this later. Then also, there's going to actually be a lot of prosperity in America. Because people didn't understand. You know, the liberal, they control the media, so they will tell you how many jobs are created and how what. But the truth is, the average people in that country were suffering. There was a lot of poverty in that country. Now, the reason the stocks immediately improved, actually they almost broke records, on Thursday after Trump was elected, the Dow Jones, the America, was because he promised to bring to start doing manufacturing work in America, which they have not been doing, and basically start improving infrastructure and bringing jobs back. Now, the markets responded to that. And I got to know from the Lord that that is just a sign. It is going to be a bit of what is expected in that place where there will be prosperity. Now, for the liberals to shut up completely, there has to be prosperity. There has to be money in this, you know, Trump thing. And God is going to make it happen so that they have no basis for arguing. Now, everywhere they are saying, you know, people made a mistake, they shouldn't have voted. Now, when the people actually start getting money in their pockets, then suddenly anybody who stands up and said, we made a mistake voting Trump, looks silly. Okay? Now, God is going to do that. Now, remember, Trump is not like an ideal person, but God once called Nebuchadnezzar his servant, because he was sending him to do a particular job. Now, it is not about somebody being perfect. It is about God saying, by the way, let me tell you, I was reading a prophecy by one person who actually gave it in 2011, saying Trump is going to be president. They actually thought it was for 2012, but eventually, apparently God said the church is not yet ready because they are still caught up in this Obama rubbish. Okay, he did not use those words. Those are my words. I have a monopoly to those words. You know, one time I said something, then somebody said, you don't know one who can say those things and get away with them. If somebody else said them, people would be angry. How can you say that? Now, the thing is, I don't care even if they're angry. Anyway, so, now, and he said that the reason he selected that man is because he's bold and he does not care about people's opinions, unlike them. And actually, the person said they will try everything to bring him down, but they will not succeed. Now, I wrote an article in the Washington Post. After they had tried everything, Then one person said, Trump is the unsinkable candidate. Because they tried to sink him and the man refused. And he continued saying anything he wants to say and abusing everybody. And why is that? Because God just decided this man is bold. Because as people make you coy and watch, they push you into a corner where you have... No, he said, now this one, the only person who can do what I want him to do without caring, who thinks what is this man? He actually said, according to that lady, the Lord told him that he's bolder than the believers. So I will use him because the believers are timid. Can you believe that?
Can you believe that?
Maybe if I was an American, God wouldn't say that. Because I don't want to think of myself as timid. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there's going to be prosperity. And the markets and their rising was just a sign. Eh? By the way, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I got from the Lord. You know, some of you want me to say that says the Lord. Eh? Okay, that says the Lord. Yesterday, he and I, we are conversing. And I asked him, what is the world going to be like with Trump there? So, okay. Now, here is one thing that surprised me. I actually thought the relation, because of Trump's apparent good relationship with Russia, that it is going to, the relationship between America and Russia is going to improve. And therefore, the Revelation 9 war, which I talk about a lot, which is going to lead to the death of 2.3 billion people. I thought that war is going to be put off because initially, actually, I spoke to you here some time ago, not all of you. Many of you are here for the first time. How many are here for the first time? The very first time. Okay. Now, I actually thought because of the good relationship between Trump and Vladimir Putin, that puts off the war, and then therefore we don't have to expect the war very soon. But then when I put it to the Lord, he actually told me no. It is actually going to make it come quicker. I said why, and he was actually telling me, I don't know if that's the right word, but making me know that because he's going to improve the military in America so much, and make their military so strong, it is going to cause countries like Russia, China, Iran, and even North Korea become very nervous. Because the truth is, Obama had made America irrelevant on the world stage. They knew he cannot start a war. They knew, and Putin knew it. Putin knew there is nothing he can do, because the only thing he does is make good speeches. And somebody who is a Christian and was supporting Clinton told me that I listened to Trump and I realized there are not going to be any nice quotes from his speeches. There are not going to be any nice quotes from his speeches. Now, can you imagine when people reduce leadership to nice quotes? Really? I mean, world leadership, and you reduce it to somebody who can say things which you go and repeat somewhere. Huh? And that's a believer. Now imagine what the unbelievers think. So he told me that, so I put that theory that of the relationship between to the Lord, and he told me no, actually it will augment the war because it will cause a lot of uncertainty in Russia, and that might actually bring the war closer because Trump will reduce his overseas military spending and concentrate on improving America's military capability. It's part of his plan to make America great again. So I go to that form. Yes, okay. Now, this will unsettle Russia, China, Iran, and even North Korea, and tensions will escalate. Now, Putin knew that there are certain things Obama could not do. But now Trump can do them. Trump can do them. The only thing is he preferred Trump to Clinton, because Clinton can do 10 times worse. She's actually reckless. Now, contrary to what you were told. So, Putin actually preferred Trump, but he I think deep down he preferred Obama. Because he knows that Obama cannot start a war. The only thing you'll do, you'll stand and warn Russia on a pulpit and what? And then be quoted by CNN and that's it. Anyhow. So. Then. Now here is the thing. Remember what, last year, I think I was still on radio. This year. When I told you that when the Bilderbergs sat in the city of Dresden in Germany, the Bilderbergs, you know about the Bilderbergs. Who has not heard about the Bilderbergs? You've not heard anything about Bilderbergs? Okay. You haven't? Eh? Okay. I'm not going to tell you. Go and do research. Okay, but here is the thing. Eh? Now, when this meeting of 300 people who control the world sat in Dresden last year, one of the things, the most important things that they talked about, I told you their agenda, one of it was Brexit, which of course they didn't want to happen, but it happened, but it wasn't a big defeat for them. Because actually even court kind of overturned what those people voted. Eh? That's the end of democracy. Now, but their biggest thing was the American presidential election. And by that time it was clear that Trump was going to be the Republican nominee, even if it wasn't yet cemented. He was, I think at the time Ted Cruz might even have still been in the race, but it was clear that Ted Cruz was just prolonging the inevitable. Trump was ultimately going to be the Republican nominee. So the Brexit people sat, and one of the agendas, of course, was the American presidential elections. Now, when that happened, that's when all the media channels, which of course are owned by Bilderberg people, started completely blasting those people. And more than that, they were actually donating money to the Clinton campaign, through the foundation and all. They were doing, it was just no, and a total onslaught. But it's because the owners go and sit in the meeting and they pass down the instructions to the people below. And there are so many things that happen. A man was, you've heard of that very popular website called the Huffington Post. Now, Huffington Post, somebody went and tagged a picture of Hillary Clinton collapsing. And because of tagging it there, it got 4 million views. And that reporter, just putting the picture, as in he's talking about the collapse, and he puts a, what do they put? What do they call it? No, forget about where it, you click and you go there to see. A link. So, and it got 4 million views because of that. He lost his job. So now that's how much the mainstream media were up against. Now, because of the Bilderbergs. But there's something else that I want to bring out here. That they actually decided that they have to start controlling the internet. Now, immediately after the election on Tuesday, and the results came through, it has that debate has come up. Today I was reading an article in The Guardian, saying how Trump won because of Facebook, and now Facebook has to start controlling what material goes there. Now, the free platform that people had, because of course, the truth of the matter is that Trump won because of social media. His tweets were retweeted all over. He had his people, part of his campaign team, who would retweet everything he says and send it to a wide audience. Some things which we want some of you to do, but you will not do for some reason, because you're busy maybe retweeting Trump's things. But more than that, YouTube. Now, it was easy for me to know that there is no way Clinton could have won Trump, because I was seeing people, somebody would go and shoot a video in his farmhouse blasting Hillary Clinton and saying all sorts of things about her, and the guy has 10 million views, more views than CNN. So now you see he has reached a wider audience. So you take over the controlled media channels. Eh? People will go somewhere, because all it takes is for you to stand there and somebody records and then you upload. And then if people like your material, they will share it and share it. The next thing you know, you are in tens of millions of views. Now, that's how, in spite of the media trying to protect her, she still couldn't win. Now, so this actually started media, but now it is being accelerated. Control of the internet. Expect to see serious, by the way, there's going to be censorship. By this time next year, you know these things which we put on what? Facebook, eh? Telling you about our what? Our messages and what? Eh? You wait, you will see. There's the free platform that was no longer is, because the survey, Facebook is actually almost 800 million people worldwide. 44 million people in America, according to one survey, said they get all their news from Facebook. 44 million. Trump, I think, got about 57 million votes. Now, another interview, or rather another survey by Associated Press showed that only 6% of Americans believe anything they read in the mainstream media. In other words, they don't take them seriously. Now, they have gone elsewhere for their news. And because of that, the revenue of the mainstream media has gone down so much because small-time advertisers know that people are no longer watching those media, so they have gone to follow the masses on social media to advertise their things. So now, previously, the liberal world had control over people's over information and over opinions through through ownership of mainstream media. Now that can no longer work. But don't forget that Zuckerberg is one of the 300 people who meet at the Bilderbergs. Zuckerberg is the Facebook man who meets at the Bilderbergs, and he's also part of the agenda. You understand? So now what they are doing is planning for ways to censure what can be shared on social media platforms. So expect to see that platform dwindle in size more and more as time goes on. They will start slow. They don't do it quickly. They start slow. They say, you know, there's a lot of untruth. And even I heard Obama saying how there's a lot of nonsense going on there, forming a cloud of nonsense. And they are speaking very angrily because they are, by the make no mistake, they have been kicked in the face. Kicked in the face. Because this was their chance. This, if that woman had won, that was going to be the end of any kind of conservatism. Now they would tell us what values to hold. They would do every. Now, conservatism, because of what happened there, is going to spread across Europe. Even in countries like Germany, where you didn't expect it, people are going to stand up and say, let's go back to the values we once held. So now they are really, really angry and finding a way to reverse this damage. And one of those ways is going to be control. But I told you that they planned that already. It's not a new thing. Anyway. What else? Now, but also, this is going to embolden the church, not just in America, but even in Europe. Because the church in Europe had completely been silenced. Actually, there was a time on BBC a man was saying, a witch, was saying how for 500 years they wanted to practice these things, but the church was too strong, and therefore they could no longer. But they said, now the church is weak. We can practice these things. Now, of course, it goes hand in hand. When the church is weak, the world and the devil's kingdom are stronger. Now, they have completely put the church in a kabok somewhere where you cannot even raise. And now the church, of course, also doesn't help. And it starts with small unbelief things, you know. Then the other day I was reading the Church of England has decided that in order to raise gender awareness among children, they should stop addressing God as a he. And also sometimes address him as a she. Church of England. So there was a headline in the Telegraph newspaper, which was really cynical, saying, our mother who art in heaven. Now, you see, when the church becomes so stupid, stupid. Now, how can anybody believe? Okay, now you blame the people for not believing. But if the people who believe are thinking like that, how do you blame? You understand what I'm saying, eh? Where they are now, you're fighting for relevance. You're fighting for relevance with the world. You're trying to show the world that you can still be relevant. Now, the issues that are of concern to them, gender equality and what, are also of concern to you. Now, that's the beginning of the death of the church. Now, the next thing you know, mediums are writing books and movies are like Harry Potter are going on and everybody, you know, and the whole thing grows. Anyhow, this thing is going to embolden the church so much. And now this is very important. This is the most important of all of them. Now, that man was bold in private and timid in public, now will stand out and be bold in public, which is what God wants. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, can you imagine this man? He says that a man walking on the street is freer than you. And we are supposed to be the people who have freedom. Praise the Lord. We are supposed to be the ones who have freedom. The church, he will be, the sun sets free, is free indeed. But now the sun sets you free and you're in bondage. So somehow the church, the purpose of the devil is to squeeze the church into a corner where they are irrelevant, like it has been in Europe, where they blame government for what's happening in the country. Now let me tell you, it's the most absurd thing when a preacher stands up and blames government for what's happening in the country. Now that is so absurd. That's even a Christian yourself. If you stand up and blame government for being broke, it is so absurd. Praise the Lord. Isaiah says the government shall be on his shoulders. On whose shoulders? Jesus' shoulders. You belong to another government. Now, if you don't know something so simple, Philippians 3 says our citizenship is not of this world. It's of another world. Now, if you don't know something, so and you start blame. Now, how can I blame government? Government? Really? No. None of my business. Now, let me tell you. The plan of the devil is to use government to put shackles on the church. The plan of God is to use the church to put shackles on government. Now, let me tell you this. When the church is in a certain state, there are certain things that cannot happen to government. There are certain leaderships that cannot happen to a government when the church is... Now, you cannot have a president like Obama if the church is strong. You cannot. He would not even stand. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not possible. Now, God is dealing with the church, saying you, like, become... Do you understand? Don't worry about the politics. You sort this, the other one will sort itself. Now, the church is busy blaming the government. Now, I will say that again. The plan of the devil is to use the government to put shackles or to stop the church from talking. Or to limit what the church can do. And the plan of God is to use the church to put shackles on government. Now, when the church in a nation is strong, the leadership will point in a certain direction automatically. You might say democracy or whatever dictatorship, automatically. Leaders of a certain caliber will stand out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I told you the story of the old prophet and the young prophet. Now the young prophet comes with a word from God. Now the children of Israel have been weakened because the king comes, what was it called? Rehoboam, something like that. Now the king comes and he says, I cannot let the children of Israel go and worship three times a year in Jerusalem. Because now the Israel had been divided into Judah with the capital at Jerusalem and Israel, also called the Northern Kingdom, with the capital at Samaria. Now this man says, according to the laws of Jehovah, the children, all the children of Israel have to go and worship three times a year in Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem is no longer under his jurisdiction, it's under another kingdom. So the man says, I cannot let my subjects cross into another kingdom because they are going to worship. You understand what I'm saying? It's like Ugandans have to go and worship in Nairobi. Then that makes the president of Uganda feel a bit insecure. Now, especially if once Kenya and Uganda were one. So what he says, he introduces his own gods and says, now these are your gods, Israel. So he goes and puts altars up in all sorts of places and says, now these are your gods. Now the children of Israel have been put in a corner because their king has said something. And they are kind of going for it. Then God sends a prophet to come and tell the king, thus says the Lord. Now the prophet comes and points at the king and says, thus says the Lord, these altars you have built, that you've built are going to be destroyed. And then the king says, who is that man? And then he says, arrest him. And immediately the king's hand, which is pointing at the prophet, withers. And he can no longer pull it down. So the king is subdued and he now pleads with the prophet to pray to God that his hand is restored. So his hand is restored, and then the king tells the prophet, now come and I reward you. The prophet says, I don't want to be rewarded. Now, who destroyed that prophet? His own prophet. Now, that's what happens. Now, the king cannot destroy. It's the prophet to destroy a prophet. Now, when a fellow prophet, the old prophet, came and helped to destroy the new prophet. He's not called that, but okay. You understand? Then the king went ahead with what? With evil. Now that was the end of Israel. All the kings after that, all of them were evil. For 200 and something years, until the kingdom of Israel was fell and was destroyed by the Assyrians. Now, it's the church which determines, not the politics, it's the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get somewhere with this. Now, I told you that before Obama came into power, the church in America had fallen for the devil's scheme, where the biggest battles they were fighting and the biggest debates were not with the unbelieving world, but within themselves. Differences in doctrine, opinion, social issues, and agendas that eventually even came to be determined by the world. Now, the believers today, if we are going to be relevant, now this is the gist of what I'm saying today. If we are going to be relevant today, we have to learn the lesson of Daniel. Amen? I will not get tired of telling you this, because we are living in a Babylonian system like Daniel was, and the examples we are going to pick are from the book of Daniel. Okay? Today's believers must learn from the example of Daniel and the three other Hebrew captives of Judah in Babylon. Now imagine what would happen if Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had started fighting amongst themselves. They would have been consumed by the Babylonian system. So is it? Do you understand what I'm saying? They had to stand together to survive. Do you know what I'm saying? Now that's what actually the church in America did. Now they forgot about their differences because they were coming for everyone. Pentecostals, Baptists, what, they said, now we are under scare. These guys are coming for us. Eh? So now we have to stand together. Now sometimes you need an opponent to stand together. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, verse, we hadn't even opened the Bible up to now. Can you imagine? Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, it says, so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time. You know this story. To interpret the dream, that he might tell the king the interpretation of the dream. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Go ahead. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now listen to this. Daniel knew, this is not just my battle. All of us are going to die with the wise men if we do not reveal to the king. So now, you are all, like all of them, you are like the witches and what. Now, I've seen these things happening. In 2006, before the elections, the president met with pastors. So many pastors came and they met with the president, and our president. And he conferred with them. In 2011, he met with witch doctors. This time, no pastors. Now, you see, the thing is, as far as the world is concerned, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the other witches, they are the same. You are the one to show them that you are different. If you have no better counsel than the rest, if you cannot reveal a dream and they also cannot reveal a dream, you will get killed with them. So now it is up to you to show that we are different. We are not the same. Now, Daniel says, don't kill anybody. He goes to the king's executioner, Arioch, and says, don't kill anybody. I will tell the king his dream. Then he goes and informs his fellow Hebrew captives from Judah that let us pray so that we do not perish with the other people. But it does not stop there. Read verse 48. But remember, it was revealed to Daniel, the secret, not to all of them, to Daniel. Then the king promoted Daniel, after he had, you know the how the story ends, and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief administrator over all the wise men. Stop there. Now, Daniel told the other people, let's pray together. They went and prayed. The secret was revealed to Daniel. Daniel goes to the king alone. The king rewards Daniel alone. Now, the typical believer would do what? Yeah, I have arrived. Read the next verse. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, so when Daniel got into the, he did not stop there, because when he wanted to know the secret, he went and conferred with his friends, and they all prayed. So now when he fed in things, he told the king also, get the other people and give them big positions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that's how you survive in a Babylonian system. Not being divided over petty things like doctrine and things like that. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, you get subdued by this thing. So if the church is going to play its role of regulating government, and we have to. We are the ones to regulate government. Let me tell you something. When the leadership and the nature of the church changes, you don't even have to concern yourself about government. Amen? The reason there is, I wish you knew what the church can do. Because it's everything is determined. And the devil does not come to change governments. He comes to change the church. Because he knows that's where it all. And you see, the problem is the church does not know. Now somebody comes and says, I had the other day pastor saying, government should be giving us money. Because we are doing what? Then they go and petition for money. And then you go to the king and he asks you, how can I help you? And you say, you want money. And he looks at you and sees people who do not understand what they have. Praise the Lord. You don't know. You've cheapened yourself. You've sold yourselves short. Praise the Lord. Have you heard of the man Benson Idahosa? Benson Idahosa, the Nigerian president, went, and now this is a dictator who was killing people. He went and said, announced on television, that Nigeria is an Islamic country. Now, Idahosa was abroad preaching. And do you know what he said? He said that he's a stupid boy. Now, he's talking about the president. He said he's a stupid boy. He said, I have given him 3 weeks. By the time I step back in Nigeria, he has to have retracted those words or he's going to die. And the president retracted the words. The man went on TV and said, no, Nigeria is not a Muslim country. He said, 3 weeks or you're going to die. And now the thing is, the man had a track record of killing people. The killing witches. There's a time he went and. Now, they said in Benin State, where he comes from, that they were organizing a world meeting of witches. He said, they cannot organize a meeting of witches in my state. It's not possible. So, do you know what he did? He called the man who was organizing, the chief witch, and stood with him on TV and said, are you a witch? Because everybody knew he had this scripture. Suffer not a witch to live. Now, if you say you're a witch, you will say in 2 days you will be dead. And he had already killed many of them. They feared him. So he asked the man, are you a witch? The man refused to answer. He said, are you a witch? Then he said, cancel that meeting. The man canceled the meeting. Now, let me tell you, there is one thing the world fears, and that is death. There is one thing we don't fear, and that is death. You understand? Now, the people of the world, you tell them you're going to die, the guy will say, okay. Because that's the end of them. Now, for us, it's just the beginning. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you see, now that man knew how to regulate government. Now, he was playing the role of a Christian. Now, until there is not... Can you imagine the man stood and now he's reported by television. He's away in the United Kingdom. He said, what did he say? That Nigeria is a Muslim country. He's a stupid boy. Said he's a stupid boy. Man, now meanwhile, Sani Abacha, the guy is a dictator, everybody fears him. But he retracts a word at the word of a preacher. Now the church has to go in that direction. We have no choice. We don't have a choice. We have to go in that direction. This thing where all, people go running, they want money. Okay, really? Now, How can you even? Now there's another man of God who, for them, they came and told him that. The president asked him, how can I help you? He said, no. That what problems do you have? He said, no, I have no problems. For me, I solve problems. He says, I cannot take anything from you. I don't need anything from you. He's telling the president, I don't need anything from you. I don't have any problem. My work is to solve problems. So he said that if I ever accepted anything from you, I would lose effectiveness. That would be the last time you can ever take counsel from me. So he said, I don't need anything from you. Maybe you need something from me. Now, those are people who know God. Amen? People who do what? The spirit of Elijah. Huh? Where somebody stands and says, go and tell Ahab that I am waiting for him here. And even the person is sending says, but you man, are you sure you will not disappear? Then he says, then the man says, they have looked for you all over the kingdom and you're nowhere to be seen. Now I'm going to go and tell the king that Ahab is waiting for him, and then when I come here, you will have gone and the man will kill me. Then Elijah told him, no, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, today I will stand before Ahab. So Ahab hears the man is there and he comes running. And then he says, okay, 3.5 years, no rain. Yeah, but now I'm going to rescue you jokers. So he says, hurry up. Go back to your palace before the rain comes and catches, finds you on the way. After 3.5 years. And then he gets on a chariot and goes ahead of a spiritual chariot and goes ahead of the king. Runs ahead of the king's chariot rather. Praise the Lord. Now you see, these things are not just stories. You have to build your because we have so many of you are ministers. Now you have to learn how to do ministry in a different way. Where you know that you cannot subject yourself to a politician. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who should be the subject of the other? But you know, one of the reasons why we cannot serve our purpose in these end times. Now I'm telling you very, very powerful end time revelations. Well, now you are going to survive this Babylonian system. And now this is not going to be a matter of choice. This is going to be a matter of survival in the kingdom. This is not something you can decide whether you want it or not. Amen? One of the reasons why people cannot do that, back to the other American pastor, is what? Money. They are going to tax us. If they tax us, we can't survive. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we can't survive if they remove us off the tax exempt status. Now, some of them have bank loans and things like that, and it's like a long story. So the only way you can survive is by playing within the rules. Now, that's why I told you that getting off the Babylonian system is an absolute must. You have to, by the way, it's an absolute must. Because once you are subject to it, you can never play the role you are meant to play. Amen? The one thing God wants to control about you is your money. Amen? Because whoever controls your money will actually control you. Just know that. If somebody else controls your money apart from God, he will control you. Now, there's a time I used to think that, God has to teach you how to live by faith, step by step by step. And there is no other way. No, none. Don't even fool yourself that you can survive any other way. You will not. You have to live by faith. Now, when I learned that, I realized now, God tells you to do something and there actually is nothing. You don't have what to go on. You don't have resources. But you know that God is leading you to do something. So you have to go and do it by faith. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when you go and do it by faith, okay, I'll give you an example. Now, what if the amount of money, okay, which happens all the time, we collect here, is never equal to our expenses. Now, I used to think that there's something wrong with that. There's nothing. Because God does not want me to start depending on the kabo. No, I still have to go and depend on him. Now, one day, They called me here and said, we did not even meet a little of our budget. We have to pay this amount of money. They pay this amount of money. Now, Annalisa here rarely calls me. So when she calls me, I know it's tight. But I know. I'm not doing what man sent me to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I said, okay. How much? Okay. So I said, fine. Now, that Saturday morning, I don't leave home on Saturday. Rarely. Morning. So somebody calls me and says, I want to see you. So I accepted to meet her. And she gave me a lot of thousands of dollars. So I called and said, how much did you want? Now, let me, I learned how to live by faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know. As long as I am doing what God sent me to do, I don't depend on any man for the resources. No man. I didn't know that woman. I'd never met her. Never somebody whom you don't know comes and gives you thousands of dollars. Now, I didn't know the person. And anyway, the point is, like, the person who controls your money will control you. Now, I want God to always be in control of my finances because I always want God to control me. Amen? Now, what happened to the church in the early and mid-1990s? Let me tell you what happened. They didn't know any better, really. Now, the churches go and they start getting into this thing that you go and get benefactors, people to support you outside the country, and which used to happen frequently. Churches in America, Korea, and places like that would support churches here and to preach the gospel, and it was good and all. But it's not sustainable because he who pays the piper calls the tune. They eventually want to control you. Don't think that there's anybody who is going to give you money and it stops there. It does not. It never does. Praise the Lord. It never what? Stops there. It doesn't. It cannot. So eventually, sometime later, I was coming from somewhere abroad and then I met one of those pastors who had been a part of that whole system. And they didn't know any better. They wanted to preach the gospel and he has his churches in Massacre. What? He was telling me he went to his founders and now they started telling him what he should be preaching. They didn't believe in tongues and what, so these things of tongues are fake and so on and so forth. So the man was caught in between. Now these people have made you dependent on them for money and now they are trying to dictate your doctrine. Now you're caught in between. Do I cut it off? But we've become dependent on it. Now he had even started projects relying on their money. Now suddenly their money had all sorts of strings attached. And at the beginning it did not. They were just giving it to him. Now that's what happens. Somebody will give you. Then when he has created a dependency, then now he starts giving conditions and you can no longer refuse because you're totally dependent on him. Now, how do you think homosexuality came into the church? Like that. Somebody. Now, I told you a pastor, whom all of you know if I said his name, told us that he went somewhere in America. And they were looking for money, $25,000 to buy a piece of land and build. So these guys came to church and the people who had hosted him had previously been in church and they were collecting money. We need money for a piece of land. We need money. So they knew that these people had money. So, knew that these people were in need of money. So he goes to America and so he talks to this pastor. The pastor asked him, did you get the money you needed for the piece of land? Now he's leaving. He has finished preaching. He's leaving. He says, no, we didn't get the money. So he says, okay, I can help you. So he passes him a check of $50,000. They needed $25,000, of which they had already been collected some. But now he gave him a check of $50,000. Then, wow, he said, wow, God is good. Then he was praising God. Then the other pastor, almost, as if it's a by the way, he says, by the way, I hope you don't mind, but that money is from our brothers, the homosexuals. I said, I hope you don't mind. Now, this pastor is is wiser than that. So he got the check and pushed it back to the man and said, we mind. Now, how many people would do that? Now, let me tell you, not too many. Because he's not telling you to... become a homosexual. You understand? Eh? But you see, the beginning is the all that matters. The day you take it. And you people know these things. Don't you? Hey, especially you ladies. The day you take that money. It doesn't just stop there. That man is not your father. You know it. Praise the Lord. So, now, why? Because until you learn the things that, thankfully, by the grace of God, we are beginning to learn and walk into, where you depend on God. And God wants you to totally depend on Him. Because I'm telling you, until... I'll be honest with you. Things like, what am I going to preach about today? For all those things, I depend on God. All the time. Praise the Lord. All the time. But if I was depending on somebody else for the money, I would become careless. Because I know so many things in my head, I would just come and talk what I want to talk. But because I know I depend on Him for money, I have to depend on Him for everything else. Because that's the origin of it. Do you understand? And so everything has to come from me. So I know I have to do what He tells me to do. And He told me that if you do what I tell you to do, the people who give you money or who sow into your ministry will always be blessed. He said, just do what I tell you to do. Don't worry about them. They will always be blessed. Now I know, if they are not blessed, they will stop giving. Amen? So I know I have to do what God tells me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm always totally dependent, completely and totally dependent on Him for everything. Now that's what He wants. He wants to be in total, complete control, where everything is about Him. Praise the Lord. Everything is about the Lord, not about the Babylonian system. Now, unfortunately, now then there's another pastor friend of mine. Now, these systems have been there. There's another pastor friend of mine who, my God, oof, I didn't realize it was this late. Okay, let me finish. Okay, there's this pastor friend of mine who was, and you know, he was up country somewhere, and he was going to a, their church was meeting in a cinema hall, and the cinema, they had told them to move out. They no longer wanted them there, and there was a piece of land which was blank somewhere, which they wanted to buy, where they were going to put the land. But they didn't have the money. It was like 30 million, which was, that is early 2000s, I think. That was completely out of his reach, out of his natural reach. So all he could do is pray. And he had a feeling that God wanted them to have that land. So all he could do was pray. So one day, another of these big Kampala pastors, America, you know, guys who go to America and what, all of these names I'm speaking, you know them if I say them. One of those pastors came to him and said, we are starting a radio here and want you to help. So he went to the church and he saw the man had a big church. And he said, how did you build this church? You mean you don't have anybody abroad supporting you? He said, no, I don't have anybody. Now that pastor is somebody who was dependent on God from the beginning. Started small and totally dependent. So now at his biggest point of need, when God is trying to stretch his faith to believe for money which is out of his reach, somebody comes and says, I can connect you to some money in America. And you won't have to suffer. Now, there are times when those things will come and you can say, no, I don't want. But they will always come at a time when you are vulnerable, when you are in need, when you're on the corner somewhere. Remember, you're a church now. This system has told you we don't want you here. You don't have anywhere to go. You have until the end of the month. Do you understand? So he came. He's my friend. So he came to me and told me that. I could see he was in a lot of conflict. I knew his spirit was telling him not to accept. Because then now, he had walked with God, depending on God. Now, he was going to shift his dependence to man. So he came and told me, I've done this, we're in this problem and what, we're in all this. He told me, and this man is offering this. And the man started calling him. He started calling, what happened to my... Oh, is that what? Is that what you do when time is up? Okay. So he started. The man was calling him. What do you say? What do you say? I can give you. I can connect you. What? You know when they present a scenario that here is a solution, ready made. Why do you struggle with this faith thing? Ready made solution. So the guy came to me. He was here. He came from up country. Came to here and I think actually came to my place. So he asked me that there is this thing. He told me the situation and told me what do you think I should do. So I looked at him. I told him, I know you are going through a tough time, but don't accept it. Because all the journey you've walked with God, which I knew very well because we are friends, he would tell me everything. I said, all the journey you've walked with God is going to come to a standstill because of this. Just trust God. If it doesn't happen, let it not happen. Just believe God. He said, you know, I knew that's what I was supposed to do. I just needed somebody to encourage me. So he went and well, the next time the other pastor called, he told him, I don't want. I'll do without that support. Now, what happened is, immediately he made that decision. A few some months earlier, he had hosted some people from Australia who had come to do street work with street children, and this pastor was actually doing a lot of work with street children. So they just came to his church, and they knew they were, you know, believing God for money for the other place. But they didn't say anything. They just sat in church the way you can come and sit here, and we are talking about something, and you go. Now, the minute he told the other people, I don't want that money, those guys called and said, by the way, those months ago when we were in your church, we knew you were looking for money for a piece of land. And now we feel led to give you at least half of it. So they gave him 15 million. So he went and put a deposit on it. And now he could build a temporary structure. By the time in the other place was over, so he moved here. And now they completely bought the land, and now his church is there. But you see, the thing is, there are tests everywhere. You understand? Don't think it is easy to walk by faith. It is not. But it is no longer an option. It is not. You have to learn how to walk by faith. Period. Like, you cannot have any other way. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, the only other way is Babylonian system. And it is not going to work. How are you going to do ministry when you don't know how to trust God? Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll run through this very fast. So, now, immediately, if you, the day you stop, then whoever pays your bills will control what you preach. Then you have to change your names from certain names to others because people are not comfortable with Pentecostal and what, and things like those, which you've seen happen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And you will be hated by all. For my name's sake. But you and yours to the end will be saved. But you'll be what? You'll be what? You'll be loved. You'll be popular. You'll be hated. Now you see, if you want to stand up to the world, first settle it in your mind that they will not like you. Period. You are not in a popularity contest. You understand what I'm saying? Now, settle it in your mind that whether they like you or not, those are theirs. Now then you do not have to care about anybody's opinion. Absolutely, because you know they will hate you. Jesus said they hated me, they will hate you. You cannot be greater than me. If they call me the Lord of demons, they will call you worse things. You understand what I'm saying? So now when people want to get into popularity contests, that's why you find pastors going on television, then they put you on Larry King or on Oprah Winfrey. Then they start asking you, top pastors, what's your opinion on same sex? And then you start being vague and vague and vague and vague because you're in a popularity contest. The fear of a man brings a snare. The Bible says, Proverbs 29 verse 25, I think. The fear of a man brings a snare. Now you have to get past that stage where you fear anybody. Where you don't care. I'm not here for popularity. If you don't like me, those are yours. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you how to take your stand here. Number one, money. Number two, money, I've told you. Be careful about money. Learn how to live by faith. There are people here who come and tell me their testimonies every day of how they have progressively learned how to live by faith. Progressively. There's a guy who used to give me seeds of 2,000 and he's believing God. The other day he brought me a seed of 300,000 and he told me how he has progressively learned how to live by faith. And it is working and he's enjoying himself. By the way, let me tell you, God wants you to live this way. Do you understand? So when you start and you purpose to do it, you have the whole of heaven behind you. Amen? Don't fear. Okay, I mean, there will be a bit of, you know, because this is not how you're used to living. Eh? But now, when this man brought me 300,000, he's even here looking at me. Eh? I looked and said, my, God is good. There's a time he used to bring 1K and he's believing God. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, he will one day bring 30 million and he's believing God. And that's how it is. You start small, and God is with you every step of the way until you get to it. God is with you. Amen? Say, God is with me. Yes. You cannot fail. It does not. God sees you want to live by faith, and he wants you to live by faith. You understand? Eh? So he will encourage you. He will do what? He will do this. I remember when I would almost give up, somebody comes and either says something or gives you something where you say, okay. So you get encouraged. Eh? Before you reach, you know, because so you're taking your first steps. So just like a parent who is looking at his kid taking the first steps to walk, he's encouraging you, walk, continue walking. Then he moves, come, until you get to a time when you are on your feet, steady. Praise the Lord. Now, the third thing is people have to have a perspective that is eternal, not just this world. You know, the problem is there are people who are in church and the only thing they want from church is things on this earth. They have no sense of eternal purpose. Nothing. They don't have a sense of we are here for a purpose. We have one lifetime to determine how we'll spend billions of years in heaven. One lifetime. You can never change anything you do here. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you have a short lifetime. People don't understand that. Now, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day and he was telling me there is this guy who lost a job. He had a good job, and this man called him and told him, first of all, this pastor prophesied to him and told him, you're going to get a job, and so, going to be, so he gets the job. As soon as he got the job, of course, he lost the pastor's number. Now, then, after some time, this pastor, stroke prophet, got a sense that he was going to have a shaking at his job. So he wanted to actually tell him and tell him what to do about it and what. So many months later. So he called the man, and this man has this thing that this man wants my money. So he refused to pick the phone. So he called him once, twice, refused. And he was going to tell him that there's this and this coming up because he could see, he had seen it. And this is what you should do and what to avoid it. The guy didn't pick the phone call. So of course this guy left him. Then eventually he lost the job. Then he came and said, man of God, I lost the job. He said, you remember when I was calling you? I was going to tell you how you'd avoid losing that job. Now, unfortunately, you did not pick the phone. Now, so the guy comes to church. He's very serious, very committed in church. Very committed. He's the one who comes. But he became very broke. Now, there is nothing worse than being broke when you once had money. It is terrible. By the way, it is terrible. You'd rather be broke when that's all you know. So this guy, now, so the pastor prayed for him because he spent almost 2 years without a job. Until the pastor said, but God, why can't this man get a job? Because he's qualified, he tried everything. So in the meantime, the church helps him here and there. He said, but, so this pastor became very concerned for this man because he saw his family. So he prayed. Then one day, he got 2 job offers on the same day. Powerful jobs. So he took one, which gives him millions of shillings with a car and with all these benefits and what? After that, he attended church for 1 more month, then disappeared. Now, that was it. He didn't want to know. like there are some people who all they want is on this earth. Like, how can you even think like that? You understand what I'm saying? Eh? I mean, which means it was always about money. So the guy vanished. And now some of you are looking at me like this, but that's how you would be. Now, then, that's not all. They went and what? Now, this guy also got a sense that he's also going to get a shaking now. So, they went and fired everybody in his department, and his boss told him, but also you, I don't think you are going to stay here any much longer. Guess where the guy ran? The guy ran to church. And though the man of God, I'm in trouble. I'm going through it. Now, you know, like people behave as if men of God are paupers. Where the guy would come to church and say, I'm going to buy this. Then he goes. Then you call him and he doesn't pick his phone. And you make people look like they are beggars. Until you are in trouble. Then you now there are people who are like that. And now for me, you know, Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul talks about these people. He says, For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Not enemies of Christ. Enemies of the what? Which means enemies of any cross is symbolic of suffering, persecution. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who set their mind on earthly things? Praise the Lord. Now, you think we do these things for what is on earth? We do these things for our reward in heaven. Amen? That's all. For our, on earth, we can survive without. If it was just earth, why would we even be doing certain things? But you see, this God, Paul says, I speak of them even as I cry. Whose God is their belly? As long as their belly is full, they don't want to know anything about God. They are circumstantial believers. They only believe God when the circumstances demand that they should believe in God. But when their belly is full, that's all that they care about. Praise the Lord. Now, and I want to tell you that the dominant culture, today I'm going to keep you a bit longer, you bear with me. Anyhow, the dominant culture of a nation is not determined by politicians, it's determined by the church. Where did all the Wufere come from? From the world into the church? No. From the church into the world. And you see, it affects everything. It affects economies. I remember sometime I went to, I taken my kid for an X-ray. And I went there and I had insurance of a company which I used to work for. Then they finished doing the X-ray. Then they charged me, thinking I'm going to pay cash. Then when I pull out the insurance card, they double the, about double the price. Because I'm not paying out of my pocket, it's insurance. Then I realized that this medical insurance thing was not going to work in Uganda. Because it is, some of these things are based on certain level of you know, of honesty, of integrity. You understand? Eh? Now, they cheated those guys out of all their... Eventually, I was here in the hospitals, no longer accepting microcare. You remember microcare? They are no longer accepting microcare cards because the microcare is not paying them billions of shillings. But it was billions of shillings of cheated money. So I would go, and you go to the hospital, then they tell you, sign the form for insurance before they do anything. I say, I can't sign on a blank check. I can't sign on something which I don't know what I'm signing on. First, give the treatment, then I sign afterwards. They say, no, sign. I say, I'm not going to sign. That is not good practice. But of course, I'm the only one who is doing that. And they think I'm doing lugezi-gezi. But then, after you sign, they will give you Panadol and what? And they will charge the insurance company 5 million. And then you wonder why the insurances are not working. You know, like, where there is a lot of fraud. Now, the other day, a man who owns a chain of restaurants was telling me how he has to suffer to just make sure people are not cheating him, otherwise the business is going to collapse. He says, Bazungu come here, they start businesses, and they employ people, and they cheat them out, and within 6 months, the business has collapsed, and the man is on the job there, or is on the street, there are no jobs. They are not just, but you cheated. You, the company that was employing you, you sent them to the cleaners. Do you understand? Where do you think that culture comes from? From the world? No, from the church. There is nothing that is happening in the world that is not happening. If the church cleaned up its act, I can guarantee you all those things will change. Where do you think the homosexuality comes from? No, from the church. Now, you see, that's very unfortunate because the people then go and blame the world. But the world has nothing to do with it. Now, I'll tell you, I'm rereading the book of Ezekiel and I'm actually enjoying it. Ezekiel, God shows him what is going to happen. When the kingdom, when Judah is about to fall in Jerusalem, when Judah is about to fall, Israel has already fallen. There's a man about 120 years between those two. Judah, God shows him, now, come and I show you what is happening. So he takes him to the temple. And he sees the priests practicing divination, sorcery, in the temple of God. Then he takes him elsewhere and he sees women practicing divination. Then elsewhere, priests are having sex with women in the temple. It's one thing having it elsewhere. But in the temple, sometimes even in the Holy of Holies, where people have completely lost regard for anything. You understand? Eh? Then he said, but the glory of God was still there on the mercy seat in spite of all that. Then God tells Ezekiel, prophesy and say that this nation is going to go into captivity. What will happen here? Then he sees, chapter 9, he sees the glory of God moving away from the mercy seat and going to the entrance of the temple. You understand? Withdrawing from the mercy seat, going to the entrance of the temple. Then he says, prophesy, prophesy. Then eventually, it moved away from the entrance of the temple to the top, to the hill in Jerusalem. And tells him, prophesy, if they don't change, eventually it moved away from Jerusalem and left completely. And the next thing that happened after the glory left, Nebuchadnezzar moved in with his army and destroyed Judah and Jerusalem completely and caused tremendous suffering. But all that had been prophesied. But it starts in the temple. When people start desecrating things which are holy, that's the beginning of everything. When the pulpits have people telling lies, then why should people out there tell the truth? When the pulpits have people telling lies. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's why God had to change the leadership of the church before anything happens in the nation. Now, that the leadership of the church has been settled, and it has, you're going to see so many things happening in the world. Amen? So it's very sad when a Christian blames government. There's a lot of corruption in this government. Let other people say that, not you. Those things would not happen if the church had its work in order. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? God would sort, somehow the culture dies and you see people of integrity and what, you know. Now, do you know why? You see a scenario where a speaker of parliament, after she has been voted speaker, carries television cameras and goes to a shrine, giving glory to the devil where she got the powers to become. Now, when the church has put its place in order, somebody like that cannot hold political office. Even if she stood, if they were going to vote her, she would die. Because the spiritual atmosphere does not permit somebody like her to sit on the throne. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then suddenly, automatically, people of integrity, nice people, start coming to the top. It is all up to the church. It's all up to us. It's not up to politicians. That somebody carries cameras and goes to a show. It's one thing going there. But it's another thing when you go there with media cameras following you so that everybody goes and sees you giving glory to the devil. Now, when you see things like that, don't blame those people. Blame the church. Amen? Yes. Because she's sending a message across that to succeed in this business, do you understand? Now, somebody will come and take that office and will go and show people that to succeed, you need the power of God. That's a bit of what happened with Donald Trump. By the way, he completely subjected himself to it. Let me tell you this now. That man, there was talk that he was going to make Oprah his vice president. Now, Oprah is New World Order kabisa. Eventually, he was actually, because they are friends, he said no. He decided to make a known born-again governor his vice president. So he surrounded himself with those. Now, they will not admit it on the television channels, but his being there is by the work of God. He himself would admit it. That when he was welcoming him after they had conceded defeat and what, you know, Mike Pence came and said, we thank God. Now, there is no way the other guys would have said that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now things start changing. Where people now start acknowledging that this is... Even non-secular platforms where people... I mean, secular platforms where people are saying this was the work of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, we have to get to that position, by the way, where we cannot be there and start blaming the government, blaming what? Okay, now the final one, before I end. Eh? And most of you know this who have been attending the Watchman, but it's important still to say, watch your source of information. Amen? There are places you tune into, and there are places you don't tune into. There are places where if you tune in, they are going to change your way of thinking, whether you like it or not. So, cut yourself off those places. By places, I mean, you know, the world. Now, I'll give you an example. Somebody was telling me about a Siri called Denny. And okay, she told me this. She's actually here. She told me these words, and they stuck with me because they made sense. She said that Siri called the Game of Thrones. She told me that. Okay, she watched it. Of course, I cannot watch it because I don't even have the time. Okay. Even for good series, I don't have the time. Now, so she told me that when you see it, you are either repulsed, but if you accept it and accept it as normal, then suddenly it has transformed you. Something within you dies. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are certain things which you, once the minute you have to either repulse it, the minute you accept it as normal, something within you dies. I've seen people who started out opposing things like homosexuality. But after some time, you see the whole world seems to think it's okay and it's cool and it's what. Then you're also traveling, then what? Then they will not give you a visa and what? Then you are. then suddenly you see them, their standards falling for. They say, no. Yeah, okay. Alternative lifestyle. You know, they also, we have to love. Walk in love. Have you had those people? Now they are saying love. That Hillary Clinton love. You know, they capture words which mean a lot to us, and they turn them into rubbish. That's love. You know, we have to love. Now they have completely turned things around. Anyhow, so where you accept something, where you either stop watching it and say, ah, this is not my kind of thing, but the minute you proceed past that initial resistance, and you go past, and now receive it, something has died within you. Now you wonder why suddenly certain things seem stupid. Which used to. Now, there's a time I was preaching down there, and I said that Obama is stupid. And somebody said, how can you call the President of the United States stupid? Now, let me tell you. You think it's okay for him to call me stupid. But it's not okay for me to call him stupid. Let me tell you. If you found somebody who believes the things I believe, he would definitely say that person is stupid. Do you understand? Now, if I find somebody who believes the things he does, he's what? Regardless of what the world thinks about him, those are not my standards. My standards are biblical. If the world thinks he's cool and all that, those are theirs. By the only time I listened to him for a long time was when he was congratulating Trump. Because I knew it felt like he was swallowing a wasp. So watch your source of information. Watch the people whom you esteem as, you know, important. You understand? If they can send you some celebrity and you think he's all that, you're falling into their trap. Because ultimately, even children, the people you show them as celebrities, as, you know, powerful people, are the people they aspire to be like. And you shape somebody's life by just showing them, you know, this. So I tell my son, I named you after a prophet. And you're going to be a prophet. And he says, what? Then what do prophets do? What do this? You know, Then from the beginning, he knows. Then the other day, he came and told me, that last night I saw an angel. Then I told him, how does the angel look like? Then he told me, like an angel. As if I should know, Then I said, how does he look like? Then he looked at me, he was young. He looked at me and said, this guy should know, he's asking, is this a... Then he said, and he does not look like the other time when Jesus appeared to me. So I said, hey, you mean Jesus appeared to you? Then he looked at me like this. Then he got scared and he never mentioned it again. But I keep on telling you, prophet, you're named after a prophet. A prophet. Then he's called Nathan. Then I told him, David, prophet Nathan went to David and told him this. Prophet Nathan. So you have to show him that these are the superstars. Otherwise, if he starts thinking Obama is cool, he will start doing those things. The trouble is even adults are following superstars who are fake. Somebody said, now, there was a lady who died called Mia what? Mia Angela? What was that woman called? Maya Angela. Now, suddenly, somebody came and told me, I want to cry. I'd never heard of her, honestly, until she died. So now, I said, how can you cry? The woman, first of all, was very old, was comfortable in her 80s, which means, like, it wasn't an outrageous age to die. Then, you're a Christian. The woman, she actually, because of various, I went and actually did some research on who that woman is. I said, how can I cry because of that person? Now, the same day, the same period Mandela dies, is the same period Paul Crouch of TBN dies. But Christians are crying, Mandela. Mandela is not your hero. Mandela is a hero of the hell people. This man started a television which created a lot of light in this world. He was used of God to bring light to the world. How do you cry over Mandela when Paul Crouch has died? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like you see, people, you don't have a sense of where you belong. Now, I want everybody to know this is where I belong. The other side, those are theirs. Like, this is me, this is who I am. Now, until you have that attitude, and now, I don't even quote, you know those things which people quote, over so-and-so said this, over Obama, I cannot quote anybody who is not born again. I would rather say Joseph Kabila said this. Because by the way, I have a lot more wisdom than all of those people. Even worldly wisdom. Because I have the spirit of Daniel. And that is not a joke, by the way. So let me tell you. I start quoting Obama. Really? Joseph Kabila? Let the world celebrate their own. Let the church celebrate its own. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good. Something is happening in your life. The church is taking its place at the top in this nation. And the people of the church are taking their place at the top in this nation. Now, everybody who subjects himself to the authority and the leadership of the church, particularly of an anointing, will end up on top, even by mistake. Even if they don't know what they are doing. Praise the Lord. Now, there's something happening in this nation. I wish you people knew. That so many things which you see and which look like the nation is going down is actually the Lord trying to put his people up. Now, these things have been prophesied before, but they are happening now. You know in the news channels when they say happening now? Happening now. Now, here is the news channel of the Watchman. Happening now. Wealth transfer. Now. Let me tell you, now. If I told you the things that I knew, which I cannot say here. There is a man, a top man, who died
in the military.
Another symbol, because the man was seated. Now, of course, you had the newspapers and what is incorruptible and what rubbish. He was seated in front of a lot of money. He was a deep whatever man in the occult. Seated in front of a lot of money, which was stolen money, because he was in charge of. And he was there saying, yeah. You remember the story which Jesus gave of the man whose ground produced a lot of harvest? And he said, what will you do? Now everything is over. That's how that man was. Now, sign. and there are going to be others. Of wealth transfer. It is happening now. Praise the Lord. And I, don't let yourself stay at the same level. Eh? Because these things come in seasons. Eh? A season comes, you have to take advantage of it. Now remember when I told you about sowing and famine? Eh? Do you know how many millions I've sowed since then? Because I know seasons. Now when a season comes when people are broke, I cannot be broke. Because when the season of... Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? So because they are sowing and harvesting periods. Now the trouble is people, you get to a harvest period and you didn't sow. Eh? And people who sowed are in two things. Eh? Praise the Lord. Okay. Today I'm overshot, but I just have some things I want to tell you before we end in a few minutes. So bear with me. Anybody who connects with something that God is doing cannot remain the same. Praise the Lord. Will not remain the same. Nobody will remain the same. You'll see miracle, absolutely miracle money. Now let me tell you, we are in a season of fasting. Okay? Now those people who started the season are fasting. They are fasting, and towards the final week of December, there is going to be something, I mean, the final week before Christmas. Eh? Powerful things happening in the financial world to the children of God. Okay? Now we have to take possession of those things right now. So find time and fast, even if it is for 3 days. Eh? 12-12. Eh? Find time and fast and claim those things. Eh? Praise the Lord. Don't let it pass you by. Between now and then. Okay? We are left with a few, almost a month to that time. Then, so, more than you've done before. Because the harvest is quick and instant in this period. I'm telling you, the harvest is quick and instant. Praise the Lord. Amen. The harvest is what? Now, I'm going to release a quick and instant harvest here today. 1 week. 1 week. By this time. Yeah? Okay? So you get your seed. Now, this is a demonstration that what I am saying is of God. Just get your seed and know how much it is and prepare for 30, 60, 100 fold between now and next week. So the nations are changing. The glory of God is shining across the nation. We are moving ever, ever closer to the return of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody is sowing in famine today and is going to see a demonstration that what I am saying here today is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to promise me that at least you will fast at least 3 days between now and then. And receive this. Receive it. Don't let it pass you by. Eh? Receive it. First, knowing that I am entering into a new season. I'm entering into something bigger. And I am receiving it like that. Praise the Lord. So many people in this ministry here, the leadership are fasting for much longer periods. But fast for whatever you can. Whatever amount of time you can fast. Eh? And now get your seed. Those are my instructions for you here this week. The fasting, you don't have to do it in this week. Eh? But you should. Or at least you can. But any time between now and 18th December.